The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Ticker Stock. It is Tuesday. It's the 19th of September, 2023. Oh, it's a big week. Tomorrow, John, we've got CPI inflation data. And the day after that, we've got the Bank of England hiking up the rates. Many people say it's the last one, maybe. Ooh, who knows? But there's lots of company news out today, isn't there?
No, it's overwhelming. It's a torrent. A torrent of company news.
I know, exactly. But listen, I want to ask, first and foremost, if you haven't watched this before, then please get involved, hit that subscribe button, like, share, do anything you want. But I want to ask you, what's your favourite stock and why? Already, if you've got a couple in, a couple of Avacta fans there. Avacta is a very, very well-followed company, and people say for good reasons. There's good news out today about their sort of trials there, and we'll go into that. But, you know, if you have any others, well, in fact, include Avacta if you want. But, yeah, if you have any other stocks that you hold, you've held for a while, you really like it, I find them a bit like kids, John, stocks, you know? It's almost like saying, your most recent kid, even though you shouldn't be a fan of it, you are. The one you buy, the last stock you buy is your most favourite. And you pretend you like all your kids pretty much. And then, you know, but then, you know, some kids, after a while, you put up for adoption and you sell. But I find that sometimes. Do you find that when you buy a new stock, you're enthusiastic about it? And then as time goes on, you think, oh, maybe it isn't as good as my older kids I've got. So it's that kind of way. What's your thoughts?
Not really. I don't really have favourites, I have to say.
They're not my favourite?
No, not when it comes to companies. You know, they're there to do a job. You know, it's
very
not
mercenary.
Like
they do a job. It's true.
Well, they are there to do a job. The whole thing is mercenary. The whole thing is about money. The whole thing is about making money. And yeah, you know, as long as they're doing that, then they're in my good books, which is why they're very different to kids. No, I don't really have a favorite. There's companies that I like, but there's companies that I like that I don't hold. You know, there's companies that I just admire from afar, but are too expensive to buy. You know, I don't know. I think falling in love with shares is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, no, it is dangerous. And you know, there's a fine line between, you can get literally super confirmation bias where anything a company releases, well, that's actually good news, even if it's bad news. But I've seen that happen. And whenever I've had that in the past, you know, I really liked the company and I've ignored the figures or whatever, you know, the facts. I always say figures are facts, pretty much. Then you can get into a bit of a knot. But AI Investor says Unilever, 400 well-known brands in 190 countries, 3.4 billion people using a Unilever product every day. That's a huge customer base. They have a growing dividend that has longevity over many, many years. Yeah, it's a stalwart Unilever, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, well, on the basis of what I said, that, you know, this is about money and returns.
Yeah,
and making me money, Unilever should be my favourite because it's actually the one that's delivered over the past couple of years. So for me, you know, I hold it. It's a funny thing, but as I say, ultimately the bottom line is all that matters.
Yeah, well, that's the weekly chart from 1996. It was 6.53. It's now 40 quid a share. So that's been a nice earner. It's been paying dividends for that long. And
that was one of the attractions of Unilever. They used to call them bond proxies. So they were sort of very, very. When you sort of got the whole QE era and, bond yields, you know, dipped to next to nothing, you could get, income, you could replace that income with a share like Unilever or Diageo, you know, a lot of companies like that were very, very steady, could be relied upon to deliver cash flows and therefore pay their dividends. So they did get, you know, they did get bid up quite a lot, but for quite a good reason. There's also a big emerging market story behind companies like the ones I've just mentioned. And, you know, if you think about where the world is going, you know, the growth is coming from emerging markets, those populations which have a long way to play catch up on the sort of GDP front, GDP per capita front, massively rapid urbanisation, you know, really massively innovative economies. So, yeah, I like companies that give me those sort of exposures. Unilever is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's look at the indices today. Pretty much all up, apart from AIM. It was down that yesterday. It just stuck 0.14% down. I'm sure that was exactly the same as yesterday. But FTSE up. There's some trading update from Ocado. Hargreaves Lansdowne, final results. And of course, that's at an all-time, well, it's close to all-time lows. But
it's
that
amazing.
Suggests, Yeah, I suggest when you get final results out in the company, it rises. That's a good, you know, it's a good sign because it doesn't dump. Because in this market, you know, people are quite risk averse. So if there's anything within the results people don't like, you know, they can tend to dump it. But the fact they haven't is quite good, I suppose. Kingfisher's down. Seventh, obviously, their results out today. Not very good there. What are the 250s? Ceres Power is up. Tui. Marshall's down. Okay. All right. So,
Hargreaves is amazing, you know, and it's really quite extraordinary how far out of favor this has fallen. You know, this is a massive company. The numbers today was a kind of testament to what we've talked about before. That, you know, when you've got a company that is a dominant market leader, you know, it's the go-to platform really for most retail investors. Not
what's
particularly
the PE on that?
Oh, just have a quick look. I haven't even looked.
So the profit before tax increased 50% to 402 million. Go on.
Yes, I'm going to look forecast PE, because that's what matters.
It's quite positive here, isn't it, on the results here?
11 and 11.
Is that it? 11. So that's good, because they do pay a decent dividend, don't they? So, yeah. I mean,
dividend yield 5 and a bit. I mean, here you go. Here's another example of what might be described as a bond proxy. You know, this is a huge platform with a huge customer base, paying their, you know, monthly SIP fees or ISA fees or whatever it might be, you know, trading regularly. I mean, it's adding new business, perhaps not at the lick that it was before, but it is. I mean, look at those headline numbers. I mean, they're extraordinary. You've got, I mean, I think you just had them up. You know, revenue's up 26%, PBT up 50%.
Yeah, that's good, considering new business inflows is down, so that means it's efficient, I suppose.
It's down, but that's still new business inflows, you know? It's just not as fast as it was before. So, you know, we've had a tough market, and you keep hearing that, you know, retail investors are leaving the market, but this sort of says otherwise. I mean, it's incredible. I do think, is it sitting on net cash as well? I have a feeling it is. Yeah, it's got 500 million in the bank.
Okay. Is that all?
Why does that share price look like that?
The thing is, it hasn't. So if you just use the sort of, let me just get rid of the 50-day moving average, I mean, in fact, I do like to keep that on. The blue one is the 50-day. And the red is 200-day, and that almost seems a bull bear line. And you see, it's had problems. It has had squeezes up there and brought back down, but like it's now crossing 50-day, which is a nice sign. It needs to get above that. It seems to be, there must be some kind of selling going on there, because I don't know about the holdings, but it rallies and it dumps for some reason.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the story of the. I genuinely think we are coming towards, like I said, the end. I think we'll become. Regardless of recession, we know we're in recession probably. It doesn't matter. That's why the market's sold off the last 2 years. The market knows that. There's no big surprises here now. The only worry sort of is the oil price. I mean, it's in the oil price recently.
Yeah,
bit of a spanner in the works on the currencies. I want commodities there. Look at Brent crude oil. Look at that. Literally. Shooting up there, you know, that was a bit of a resistance level at $90 a barrel. It's now at 94. But interestingly, they're saying peak demand in oil is going down. I was reading the EIA today, and I don't think it's bring this up, but it said, look at this. Despite cumulative increase, annual demand growth expected to shrivel from 2.4 million barrels a day this year, just 0.4 in 2028, putting peak demand in sight. The trouble is with this, you see, that doesn't mean the price will go down, because what if there's less going to be used, less will be explored for, and less will be supplied. Exactly. So it's a supply-demand story. They may even out, so you never know where the price is going, I suppose.
But that's exactly why the price is shooting up, though. It's a supply, a supply story, you know.
Yeah.
Saudi and Russia are cutting production.
Yeah.
When you cut supply and, you know, demand is still rising, well, I mean, it follows course. The price is going to rise.
Someone did say, can you have a look at Ocado? It's been an excellent.
Do I have to?
A hell of a downtrend. And,
I hate this company. Absolutely. No, I don't love companies, but I hate some companies.
Yeah. Why do you hate this company?
I hate this company. Why?
Yeah.
But, I mean, where do I start?
Well, I don't know. Just give us one sentence. Why do you hate it? Is it because they're loss making? They
promise
a lot.
Losses.
Yeah,
we've not a proper insight in view. You know.
No, it's been one of the biggest hope high potential stocks around. Let's be honest. When it started rallying on the automation and all this stuff, what's the market cap in this company? It's literally 6.6 billion. You know, And it's like they are losing. How much do they lose? They'll keep their group EBITDA. Oh, EBITDA, though, 70 million.
Well, EBITDA is irrelevant for a company like Ocado, you know, because yeah. most of what it does requires masses of physical infrastructure, which depreciates and then has to be replaced. So why they're reporting EBITDA as a metric anyone should take care of, interest in, or especially that what they used to do, is this
we know why they're doing that. We know why they're doing it, because it flatters them more than the actual operating loss.
It's a ridiculous company.
Loss before tax for the half year was 212 million. Yeah, I've had alerts to this chart. The chart, even now, like I said, you know, it's breaking above that 200-day and breaking up new highs, but it's come back to 50-day here. But yeah, I can't see it. How much cash they got? I don't
Absolutely
know.
Ridiculous company. And you know, they used to try and spin it that they were some kind of, you know, like tech giant.
Yeah.
All being a tech giant, if I was, you know, building these massive warehouses for clients at great expense and, you know, sticking some robots in. It's a very Heath Robinson approach to grocery, it seems to me. And you think, okay, so if they can use automation to help deliver profits, then great, but they can't, as their own account shows.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm never really impressed. Hey, I actually dislike this company intensely.
Okay, I'm going to move down straight down to Most Red, because people want to see, you know, this is annoying. Most Follow Company. What you've had, there's been a seller in Good Energy for a while. I own some stock in Good Energy. Now we're looking at the results in a bit. But anyway, let's look at Avacta. This is the Most Red. And on final results days, you know, it can be used as a liquidity event for people to get out. So even though it rose by 12% Good Energy this morning, it's come down on a few sales. And I think it was stupid, really. Look at the valuation. But Avacta, anyway, this is the Most Red. A couple of people say it's the most favorite stock. Of course, they've done their... this ALS 6000 six dose escalation, it's gone very well. Safety is very good. They even said significant reduction in tumor volume confirmed. This is a phase 1A. I thought they were going for phase 1B, but now they're saying they're going phase 2 now, apparently. It's phase 2. And
That's good.
Good.
You want to get through the phases as quickly as possible. This bringing that forward is fairly momentous.
Yeah, if anyone doesn't know about phases, I mean, it's a quick thing here on it. You know, basically, first phase one, it's, 15 to 50 patients, pretty much, or not many patients. And it's safety they focus on. But they also
safety is obviously massively important in the case of what
Avacta
is doing here, because this is about essentially being able to increase dosages to deliver very efficient. It's basically chemotherapy, advanced chemotherapy. So and dosing is obviously dangerous in chemotherapy, and that's exactly what Avacta is trying to be able to increase without the sort of dangerous side effects. So safety is really important, and you know, we seem to prove that.
Yeah, exactly. So first and foremost, it's got to be safe. If the drug isn't safe, then you can't take it any further. It's looking like it's very safe. And then you look at effectiveness, efficacy, safe and efficacy. Then phase three, they compare it to what's out there in the market at the moment. You know, does it beat the standard? Is it otherwise it's not worth it? And then obviously they may even go to phase four, and then the FDA. But it's looking good. It's early stage, but looking good. How much cash has Avacta got? Because, I mean, obviously clinical trials are not cheap. That's a trial. And the thing is, the further you go along these trials, the more expensive they become, because you're talking like, you know, a handful of patients on phase one, phase two, you're talking about up to 100, and phase three can be several hundred, maybe even 1,000 odd, and that costs a lot of money and is randomized and all that. It gets increasingly expensive. But as yet, like I said, it's looking very good. And well done for Avacta fans who are in that. Chart-wise...
They got a lot of cash.
That's good. Well, they need a lot.
42 million quid at the end. Cash and short-term deposit balances, 42 million quid at the end of 22.
That's good. It's still failing in that 200-day moving average level. It's rising up with that and coming back, you know, which is quite annoying. It'll pop eventually, because you see the 50-day moving average now turning up, which is quite nice. That's a quite nice sign there. But do you know what? I know when there's lots of fans of companies, some people try to knock the stock, you know, and I saw someone say there's a placing needed, all that stuff. I wouldn't worry, you know. When you have a company like Avacta that's so well followed, I'm not saying they need to raise money, but if they do in the future, then they shouldn't have a problem, because it's well supported, well backed, you know, and the shareholder register stacked. So I wouldn't worry about the naysayers. You know, if you've done your research and you believe it, just stick with it.
Indeed, as Paul Hill pointed out today in the write-up of Avacta.
Yeah.
You know, the further through the phases they get, the more chance, you know, the big biopharma is going to come knocking on their door.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what biopharma wants. They want you to, they don't want to take on the risk of clinical trials. It's expensive. I mean, you know, like, for example, one of the stocks I hold, Destiny Pharma, they've taken them up to phase three, and then they partner on phase three because phase three is quite expensive.
Yeah.
And so you partner up and you share the potential royalties and the rewards from that.
Exactly. Do you know, there's another company which was a big move, is it?
Scancell,
indeed.
Yeah, someone mentioned Scancell, and
I've been sort of eyeing this company for a little while. It's been on the sort of radar, back burner radar.
Cancer vaccine,
it shares up more than a fifth today. Yeah, yeah. It's a cancer vaccine. It's this specifically is a trial against melanoma.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, when this is phase two, in fact, and the results are very, very encouraging indeed. You know, melanoma is a serious killer. Often because it goes unnoticed and then, you know, metastasizes into something more nasty. This is really, really quite an achievement here. Initial data from 11 patients had 82% objective response rate. You know, which is far better than was expected. And it's really, really quite an interesting result. So definitely worth keeping an eye on this one. If you're into a vaccine, I'd have a quick peek at Scancell as well.
Yeah. So someone says IG is better than Hargreaves.
As what?
Yeah.
As a platform.
It's a different kind of business, really.
Yeah, all these things that do different things. But as
Greco
a business...
says, I keep finding new favourites. That's what Gregory says. Glencore P6 Jedi says, as you pay no stamp duty and plenty of daily movement. You pay no stamp duty
CFDs, spread betting? No, you don't. But that's different. It's a trading platform. It's not an investment platform.
Yeah.
They do have a stockbroking division.
I think you've touched a nerve of Fredo. Fredo's having a go at you, John. For some reason, Maricardo. I think he's a Fredo, calm down, fella. We want to create a nice environment for discussion, okay? They're just slinging abuse at each other. If you want that, get on the bulletin boards. That's all they do is slap each other off.
I stand by everything I've said about Ricardo. I've been watching that company for years.
Yeah. Anyway, can I... So we got Eagle Eye, Water Intelligence. There's lots of stuff out there. Fintel, Victor's busy today, isn't he?
Victor's had a look at Fintel. It's a company I like. Again, you know, sort of quietly doing its thing in the retail investment services space, retail financial services, basically helping IFAs get to grips with the enormous burden of regulation they face, the enormous amounts of data they have to manage. Big new regulation coming there, which is all based on sort of outcomes, you know, but it's basically, you know, the outcomes of investment. So all sorts of regulation, Fintel helps companies. Now, IFAs manage that. I find it really interesting. It's sort of transformed, or it is a fintech, arguably, but it launched this thing called Fintel Labs, which I think is really interesting, which is essentially an incubator for innovative fintech businesses. And these results, I mean, you know, slow and steady, but you know, keeps delivering.
Well, I was Water Intelligence. Is that moving today?
It's down a little bit.
That's down a bit. Look at that. I may put an alert on that, I think. I quite like the message chart. And download that from 13 quid to 373. Wow. There we are.
It's surprising. You know, it's very decent top-line growth, decent profitability being delivered, cash in the bank, you know, clear demand for its solutions. It's buying back its... So it was a franchise model for sort of leak detection stuff, but, you know, it's something we often talk about, Justin, which is, you know, this whole land expand. You know, you go in and you start, you know, you get a foot in the door and then you keep upselling, which is what it's doing through product development. It's a really good company. It's buying up its franchises. So, you know, there's obviously more value to be created through that approach. It's surprising that, yeah, that's an ugly share price graph, which again, probably doesn't really fit the story.
Yeah. I just want to chat about good energy there, because I think it's unfairly sold into today. In fact, it was up a bit. But if you look at the results on this, I just think for a while, I look at the shares in this, and I thought, am I wrong here? Am I missing something? You know? And essentially what they've done, they've gone from owning energy providers like wind farms, solar panel farms, and that is quite capital intensive. They had a lot of debt. They changed CEO. The CEO used to be at Money Supermarket, now Nigel, and he's decided to go for a low capital model where they are energy services providers. So they still have power purchase agreements with wind farms and independent operators, but they also now have acquired heat pumps, solar installations, and all that stuff. And I think revenue increasing, 156 million, right? Gross profit increase, 32 million. They have cash of 38 million. They've got a net asset value of 50 million. They pay a dividend. And yet, it's only going to get better. Their EBITDA is going to double to 10 million next year, then add 50% on again forecast. And yet, I just think, what's not like here? They are literally a 30. I just see it as one of the, this is my rant, by the way, I just see it as one of the best risk-reward plays on AIM. They are 32 million. They've got 38 million in cash. That'll unwind a little bit, but they'll have around 20 million. But then the asset value and the profit will pay a dividend. And their margins are improving as time goes on, as they ramp up their heat solar. Does that map? You know, everyone's worried about sort of anxiety about EV charging. They have the biggest, they are 49.9% holder of Zapmap, which is the biggest sort of map for EV chargers in the UK, and so you can tell exactly where the charges are free, you can pay through it, and it's expanding very quickly. The downloads now, I think active use about 600,000. But that's a very valuable piece of tech that they own there, because let's be honest, people are only going to own more EVs, and the recharging stations are not going to keep up with the demand in EVs, and that's what's one thing that's worrying people. So you want to know where you can get charged very quickly. So I just like the space they're in. I just think risk-reward. Having said that, it did pop yesterday, above 200 MV average. Our broker's got a target of 475 based on 7x EBITDA, EV EBITDA 2024, and that's up here. So
yeah.
I just think when you're looking at companies, what's the risk? And I think, well, not a lot there, because if you sold the company in bits, it's worth 50 million. So anyway, that's my rant of the day. I do apologise. That's I own stock. I just for a long time I thought, am I wrong here on the stock? And I don't think I am. There's a seller in there. It's annoying. It's trickling in sales all the time. And so this is a bit of a liquidity event. You've got about 4x average daily volume coming in here today. And I think some sellers taking advantage of that. So once that clears, I think it's off up to new highs there. But
if you remember what Christopher Mills at North Atlantic, smaller company, said earlier in the week, there's been a lot of redemptions, so a lot of essential forced selling by investment funds, not trusts, I hasten to add, investment funds. That could explain some of the sort of consistent selling pressure we've seen.
Yeah, this
that
is
will come to an end soon. If Hargreaves results are even to go by, that selling pressure may soon be over.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you see a sentiment change in those kind of companies like Hargreaves Lansdown, then that's a good move. But I think we are coming towards sentiment change. I do think last quarter will be very good, because we'll have more foresight on where interest rates are going, probably hitting the terminal rate very soon, maybe this Thursday. This is an interesting company, Billingdon Holdings. Have you looked at this company before?
I looked at it this morning.
Structural Steel and Safety Solutions. Why are they? I mean, their results are quite good, aren't they?
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Are they involved in the new schools thing or not? I did look through that. There's no mention of that.
Who knows? I don't know what projects they're specifically involved in, but yeah, there's another company that's in structural steel, Severfield, which has been doing very well as well. Yeah, it's a lot of things getting built. Getting built, and sort of modern structures are built with steel. Steel and glass a lot of the time. So not surprising. And again, they've got the steel side of things, but they've got the safety side of things as well, which is sure that steel doesn't corrode on the one hand, but also making sure that when people are building this stuff that it's safe to do so in a safe environment. Regulatory pressure again there. So yeah, it's a really, really nice company. It's probably a bit underneath a lot of radars. I mean, look at goodness, it's so cheap. Like 7x forecast earnings as well.
One of the biggest risers on news, I used to hold this, extension of rail. I mean, these, you know, no, when you go into, you know, sort of shopping malls and all that stuff, and you see all those little stalls that are not shops, or you see outside people doing promotions with brands and all that stuff, they're in charge of this. They sort of lease the all this, you know, footage off the malls and all that stuff and the owners, and then they lease it out to obviously people who want to do stuff, do the brand.
Quite a nice business. I had a quick peek.
And it's literally tiny. It's a nano cap. It's literally 1.8 million.
Yeah.
But they've extended there. So even in train stations, when you go to London and you see all these sort of businesses and the platform area space, and they're doing like promotions or anything like that's you know, managed by Space and People. And so, but they've done an extension of their agreement with Network Rail. So they're in charge of pretty much all the areas where you can put sort of retail stuff or displays or promotions. They're in charge of all that. But the results are out soon. But
they must have had a torrid time with the, you know,
COVID. So, yeah,
you know, COVID. Just for them. But, you know, it's just looking at the forecast, and there are forecasts, which is, you know, often surprising to see with micro nano caps. Indeed, they're on track to 6.5 million of turnover this year, and to actually deliver a pre-tax profit. So you know, that market cap, I almost didn't bother looking at them because they were so small.
Yeah,
and I thought, I will go and have a look.
And
actually, there's a very decent business behind that sort of that micro cap, nano cap facade. And go and have a look at their website. I mean, they're working in, you know, as you said, not just Network Rail, Welsh Rail, all sorts of massive shopping centres.
Yeah,
good business.
Yeah, absolutely. Eurasian Mining is, it's the old second rose red, but they're trying to sell their assets in Russia pretty much. Sarika Energy, which is in a upstream oil and gas company, they're down like 6% a day, but I know there's quite a few fans of those.
Well, it will do, is, you know, producing oil and hydrocarbons producer rather than explorer. And, you know, they would have had some very good years. They will have had some very good years in the run up to, you know, the energy crisis and throughout. You know my views on oil and gas producers, always leverage to the oil price. So, I mean, look at the share price. It's almost tracks.
Yeah, so they have amended the guidance here to 40 to 45,000 barrels of oil per day, slower than the expected ramp up of the production of Bruce and Tritton hubs following planned summer shutdowns. Group operating costs expect to remain below 20 bucks per barrel of oil. So, that's... The companies like that, though, you know, SQZ, I mean, if you are into oil and gas, if the oil price starts going up, you know, then, in fact, that's got a nice little chart that's bending around that. I mean, you can see that previous resistance there around at 250. It's come down today, but it seems to be off the bottom here. So, like I said, they are leveraged to the oil price. So if the oil price keeps ticking up and their operating costs are 20 bucks per barrel, that's going to look good for them, you know, going forward.
Mm.
But I'm not too into
North Sea, nice safe jurisdiction.
Yeah. Do you know what is quite a few followers today? Safe Style in UK. What do they do? Windows. What's the point of Windows?
Keep the rain out.
Well, at least their product's transparent.
It's a horrible update, that Safe Style.
Yeah, I will annoy that. But Quiz as well as a clothing. Because, I mean, this is a read across. It's a smaller version, of course, of like the Asos's and Boohoo's and all that stuff. But it's a tough market for all of them. And they're saying here, always scroll down to the outlook, you know.
I see what I did see today. H&M. H&M are about to start charging shoppers $1.99 to return items bought online.
Yeah, but Boohoo, I mean, they're all doing that now. For a long time, when everything was, when the cost was a bit lower, they could do that. They say that the prudent assumption, the current trend in revenues continued during the second half, and this means down. This will have a knock-on effect on the group's profitability. And while it's anticipated the positive EBITDA would be generated, if revenues were these, it would be expected a loss. So they're now saying they may go to a loss. And also another one, you know, worth looking at. Always look at the outlook. You know, always is code. I thought it was a nice little company, actually. They train people to code, pretty much, and then put them into jobs. They're down 32% day. Sorry, let me just share the screen. 32% day code. And, you know, interim results. And you scroll in, you look at the, and scroll down, and you realize one of their big clients, they're saying a lot of companies now, budget constraints, the workforce, all that stuff are happening. And so they've got, there we are. you don't want to see that. Group now expects revenue and profits for the year as a whole to be significantly below current expectations. But they say they've got a strong balance sheet. But it's never hard.
Does it say how significantly below? Does it got some business numbers there? I missed that.
I don't think they say the numbers, but it's a look. Cool.
Their forecast for the year is 1.2 million of pre-tax profit. So you don't want to be too significantly below that.
No, exactly. So it's you see, but you can see, you know, the effect the economy's having. The Bank of England are slowing down the economy. That's happening. We know that. You see lots of companies suffering. And so when you're selecting stocks, you've got to be very careful, you know, in the right area. Things are not going to be affected in some way, you know. And in fact, you know, like I said, oil and gas. I mean, if you are in a good, you know, cash generative oil play that is at a low now, and the oil price is shooting up towards, a lot of people saying now it should get $100 a barrel at 94, that's going to reflect positively.
Going back to Northcote, there's a statement, there's a line in the statement which struck me.
Go on.
This was about one client undergoing substantial business reorganization, leading to division closure. As a result, immediate demands for our services diminished below 0.75 million we had been expecting, with the quantum now being uncertain. You know, this is one thing you have to be very mindful of with smaller companies is revenue concentration.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that's a tenth or whatever of their overall revenues, but that's quite a lot when you think about it. And, you know, when that disappears or, you know, certainly falls quite significantly, that takes a big chunk out of profits potentially. So, yeah, always watch out where, you know, if you can see, you know, how much revenue smaller companies in particular get from single clients.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? It's basically like diversification of a portfolio. You know, it's like, you know, having all your money in one stock. You can be good rewards, but it can also be, you know, a bit of risk as well. If it goes wrong, then it'll take a big chunk out. You know, but there's so much to get through. And in fact, we're overrunning here, but a little bit. But I just want to get on some some top business stories, because in fact, let's look at it. This is the forecast for. Have a look at CPI. CPI is expected to go up this month. Is tomorrow, data's out. Forecast of 6.8. Previously, but now that's year on year. But month on month for August, it's almost more than doubling. And that's down to oil and gas, you know, oil prices, they're saying, at the pump and stuff. But anyway, let's scroll down here. And in fact, one of the biggest stories is global oil prices surged to 10-month high. There we are. UK forecast of the highest inflation rate amongst G7 nations, and this is OECD. We see that tomorrow, by the way. It's quite sticky, of course. But the thing is, oil is a global phenomenon. You know, it's not like it's down to the UK. We can't control that, can we? All you can do is, like, if all the G7 or G20 countries in the world increase interest rates, slow growth down, then oil will hopefully come down. But if they're not supplying it in the market, like, you know, Russia and Saudi are trying to sort of cut back on supply, then the price is going to go up. So and there we are. Bank of England readied itself. It may be the final rate hike on Thursday. All but one of 65 economists polled by Reuters in recent days say they will raise it to 5.5. Goldman Sachs and Citi all suspect Thursday's decision will be the last rate hike. That's a big news day, Thursday, isn't it?
Not everybody know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, imagine if he reduces them, though. Yeah.
Well, that would seem highly unlikely, given that inflation is looking pretty sticky. Big news day. I can't wait. Sorry, I'm very grumpy today.
why is that, John?
I don't know.
Do you know what you need, John? You need a beach shirt. That's what you need. It is. I said yesterday, didn't I? Yesterday on Monday, we both felt we're down, a bit autumnal. The weather's bringing us down a little bit. But you need a beach shirt, John. Sod the weather. Get into your summer, guys. Get back into it loud and proud. You know, I think your clothes shape your mood, John. So tomorrow, come on, beach shirt Wednesday, whatever. And maybe I'll start wearing it. If you wear one, I'll wear one. Nice colourful shirts.
I'll have to wake the heating up to 11 in that case then.
Yeah. And I think for Thursday, for the Bank of England, we should both wear ties and suits.
I've got a bowler hat knocking around somewhere.
Yeah, we should do that on official days of that, ties and suits. Anyway, everyone, thank you for tuning in, and we'll speak tomorrow. Big day tomorrow, CPI day, of course, and then it's Bank of England. Interest rates on Thursday, big. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button if you haven't. Like and share it. Thank you. And the record for the most, interaction day comes from Frido.
It's across from me.
Frido is cross for John.
It doesn't matter.
I think you end up as friends, so that's good. get yourself a new cashmere jumper, John. That'll perk you up. That's what someone says, yeah. Roger, PAF right. And AFC is for... Frido's replying to it. No, it'll help our engagement stats. So anyway, thanks, everyone. speak tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.